Radio Prague News.
Deputy Topo 9 Chairman Miroslav Kalousek has called the police investigation of MP Vlasta Parkanova a witch hunt. The police have suspended an investigation of the financing of the former coalition party Public Affairs, and former dissident Yaroslav Shabata has died at the age of 84. Deputy Topo 9 Chairman Miroslav Kalousek has criticized the police for seeking to prosecute his fellow party member MP Vlasta Parkanova. The request to strip Ms. Parkanova of immunity was an example of the police force's haphazard behavior, Mr. Kalousek said, adding that the flimsy case against her amounted to charges of witchcraft. A former defense minister, Ms. Parkanova, is suspected of abuse of public office in connection with a 3.5 billion crown purchase of three Spanish-made transport CASA planes and other suspected irregularities. The police cite her for failing to order an expert opinion to verify the price of the aircraft. In her defense, Mr. Kalousek said that the military have experts of their own to assess orders and that independent analyses cannot be made for sensitive data. Ms. Parkanova herself insists she did nothing illegal in the case. Telephone service providers may have to keep data on their clients' locations and usage for 6 months, according to an amendment to the Electronic Communications Act, which is now in its final reading in Parliament. If passed, the law would require telephone and internet providers to record who communicated with whom, for how long, and where. The data could then be requested by the police, the state prosecutor, military police, intelligence agencies, the central bank, or the courts. Anti-corruption police have suspended an investigation into the financing of the former coalition party Public Affairs. According to the daily Pravo, the police dismissed suspicions of money laundering within the party in May. The investigation focused primarily on the circumstances around large monetary donations made to the party coffers by millionaire MP Michal Babak, considered the party's financial guru. The police say the investigation did show irregularities, but not enough to prosecute, a view shared by the state prosecutor. Former dissident and government minister Yaroslav Shabata died in Brno after a long illness in the early hours of Thursday at the age of 84. Yaroslav Shabata was born in the South Moravian village of Dolenice in 1927 and joined the Communist Party after World War II. He was a prominent figure of the Prague Spring. He left the party in 1969 and founded a group called Communists in Opposition. In 1977, he signed the Human Rights Manifesto, Charter 77, and served as one of its spokespersons between 1978 and 1981. He was jailed twice for his political activities by the communist authorities, in total spending 7 years in prison. After the fall of communism, he became an MP and served as a government minister between 1990 and 1991. Czech press agency reporters are opening an exhibition of photographs of former President Václav Havel. The exhibition at the Old Town Hall in Prague covers archive photos from the years 1988 to 2011. Organizers say the selection focuses on circumstances playing out around the former president and moments of relief after political tension. Many of the photographs have never been published. The exhibition will run until July 6th. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be mostly overcast with rain showers and occasional storms. Daytime highs should range between 16 and 20 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
You're tuned to Radio Prague, the English language service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. Coming up in today's program, Czech MPs are to decide whether or not to allow the prosecution of yet another of their colleagues. We'll have details. And recordings of a shameful show trial from the 1950s are unexpectedly found. Then a little later in today's panorama, we'll be looking at the sorry state of Czech prisons.
Czech
Czech MPs are to decide next week whether or not to allow the prosecution of another of their colleagues, coalition MP and Deputy Speaker of the House, Vlasta Parkanova. The anti-corruption police accused the former defense minister of wasting nearly 660 million crowns in a deal to buy transport planes for the Czech military. Mrs. Parkanova's party claims the charges are unsubstantiated, as the decision was taken by the entire government. Jan Richter has the details.
Vlasta Parkanová was never a key player in the government of Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek, which was in power between 2007 and 2009, before it famously collapsed during the Czech presidency of the European Council. Some observers point out that the ministry was in fact run by her deputy, the influential civic democrat Martin Barták, rather than the minister herself, whom most people might remember for her vocals in the song Good Morning Radar, in support of the positioning of a US radar base in the Czech Republic. But as defense minister, Ms. Parkanová was ultimately responsible, among other things, for the decision to buy four Spanish Casa transport planes. The deal was concluded in May 2009, a day before the government formally stepped down. The police have now requested the lower house to sanction Ms. Parkanová's prosecution. According to police sources quoted by the Četeka news agency on Wednesday, the then defense minister did not provide an independent review of the deal, which was allegedly overpriced by 658 million crowns, or more than $32 million. Critics of the contract also note that the army did not need the aircraft in the first place. Due to technical problems, the planes were grounded for nearly a year before the faults were fixed. Doubts were also cast on the decision to trade one of the Casa aircraft for five Checkmate L-159 planes, which some say was a way of avoiding a public tender. In a written statement to the press, Vlasta Parkanová said her conscience was clear and the accusations were absurd. Finance Minister and founder of the Topo 9 party Miroslav Kalousek, who held the same position in 2009, came out in her defense.
We were shocked because the government made a collective decision, a unanimous one in fact, and the police want to prosecute just one of its members. The police accused Ms. Parkanová of failing to provide an independent review of the contract, which shocked us even more because all our legal analyses say there is no obligation to do so.
Mr. Kalousek claims that the law does not require officials to provide independent reviews of deals involving military and other sensitive material. If it did, says Mr. Kalousek, the police would have to raise charges against all defense and interior ministers, as well as heads of the intelligence services 10 years back. The opposition, shaken by the recent scandal of MP David Rád, has indicated it will vote in favor of Ms. Parkanová's prosecution. Jan Hamáček is a Social Democrat MP and a shadow defense minister for that party.
Ms. Parkanová is at least politically responsible for the fact that there was no public tender and for agreeing to that dubious exchange for the Czech planes. I think that was done for the sole purpose of avoiding a tender. She is also politically responsible for the fact that the planes were unfit for flying and the army could not use them for nearly a year.
Political responsibility is one thing, but criminal responsibility another. The request by the police to open the way for Ms. Parkanová's prosecution will first be debated by the Mandate and Immunity Committee next week, before it is put to the vote in the lower house.
Jan Richter reporting there on the situation developing around MP Vlasta Parkanová. It should be interesting to see how that develops. And of course, you'll find the news at our website, radio.cz. We turn now to this story. William N. Otis, an Associated Press correspondent who served in Prague in the hardline 1950s, entered Cold War history. That when the communist regime made him confess falsely to espionage and sentenced him to 10 years in jail. Now, 15 years after his death, recordings of that shameful show trial have unexpectedly been unearthed in the country's national archives. Daniela Lazarová has the story.
Táži se vás, obviněný Otisi. Rozuměl jste žalobě?
Yes.
Ano.
Cítíte se vinným?
Yes.
AP correspondent William Otis confessed falsely to espionage after four straight days of interrogation by the Communist Secret Police. On the first day, I admitted that I had done unofficial reporting, which I had, he wrote later. Within 3 days, I confessed that this was espionage, which by any Western standard it was not. And within 7 days, I confessed that I had spied for the US government, which was a lie. At the time, Otis was the wire service's Prague bureau chief. The Communist Secret Service planted evidence against him and raided his office. The show trial was orchestrated down to the smallest detail and presided over by the same judge who sent Milada Horáková to her death just a year before. The Communist Party and Secret Service distributed tickets to 120 spectators who watched Otis make his false confession and express regret for having spied against Czechoslovakia. His words were translated by an interpreter.
I'm sorry that I went in for espionage in this country.
Lituji toho, že jsem se dopustil špionáže v této zemi.
The sound on two reel-to-reel tapes was unearthed in a plain brown paper package that had lain in the National Archives for 60 long years. Alena Šimánková is one of the archive workers who unearthed the documents.
When we opened the package, we were in for a huge surprise. It had been improperly labeled, and instead we found it contained materials relating to the Otis trial and these two reel-to-reel tapes.
Byly nalezeny dva balíčky tělen z těch zvukových nahrávek.
Among the materials it contained were minutes of a meeting at which the STB and those involved in the show trial discussed its planned course and details of the trumped-up charges minute by minute. Historian Karel Kaplan says the victims of these trials were completely helpless.
In these trials, one did not fight for the truth. One fought to stay alive.
Se nebojovalo o pravdu. Tam se bojovalo o život.
William Otis was lucky to escape with his life. He was sentenced to 10 years in prison in June of 1951. President Eisenhower wrote a letter to the Czechoslovak government on his behalf and used what leverage he had to get the US journalist released. In the 12 months after his conviction, Czech exports to the United States dwindled spectacularly. In 1953, Otis was pardoned and set free, a move he later linked to Stalin's death not long before. Years later, he was exonerated by a Czechoslovak judicial review, but that action was rescinded in 1968 after the Soviet crackdown. After the fall of communism, he was exonerated once again. Upon his return home, Associated Press made him a correspondent in its United Nations Bureau. He retired in 1984 and died 13 years later after a long illness.
Daniela Lazarová reporting at a truly awful time in Czechoslovakia, the 1950s. If you'd like to comment that story or have any memories of that period of your own, please do comment it by writing to us here at the station. The address is english@radio.cz, and some of your comments may make it onto the air in our mailbox program. Now, though, we turn to today's main feature, which is another edition of Panorama with Daniela Lazarová, this time looking at the state of Czech prisons.
Deteriorating conditions in Czech prisons have elicited plenty of criticism in recent years, and much has been said in Britain on the subject. However, no one has addressed the issue more vocally or found a broader platform for his complaints than the former governor of Central Bohemia, MP David Rath, the country's most famous prisoner who is in custody awaiting trial on corruption charges. David Rath's fall from grace has been described as a trip from heaven to hell in the space of just a few hours. What he experienced in custody in the Litoměřice jailhouse led him to devote a considerable part of his recent address to the lower house to the conditions in Czech prisons.
My žijeme v zemi, kde vazba je novodobá tortura.
We live in a country where imprisonment is a form of torture. Do you consider it normal for prisoners to be allowed to shower just twice a week or spend an hour a day out in the open in a courtyard that is 2 times 3 meters? This is done until people are broken in spirit, taken to the very depth of despair. Though their methods similar to that which the communist secret police used, they do not belong in civilized Europe.
To s vyspělou Evropou nemá co dělat, dámy a pánové.
Although many people put the emotional address down to an MP's shock at finding himself slumming it among criminals, those in the know say that the experience of being held in custody can paradoxically be much worse than that of serving time in a jailhouse after being convicted. Lawyer Jaroslav Ortman says that despite the presumption of innocence, people in custody are treated as if they were convicts.
The conditions in our prisons are dismal. Those held in custody can only see visitors once a fortnight for an hour and a half in the presence of an officer. They have access to hot water twice a week, no phone calls whatsoever. 23 hours of their day is spent in a cell with a toilet.
Forty-four-year-old Miroslav, a former inmate who asked to remain in anonymity, says the worst part of the experience was being cut off from his family, his only source of moral support. He says that the hygiene conditions only made it worse.
You could only shower properly twice a week, and there was hot water for about 10 minutes for each of us. So you do what you can and wash yourself in cold water whenever possible.
Critics of the system say that while all prisoners should have more humane conditions, the fact that people in custody are treated like criminals is outrageous. Senator Jiří Dienstbier of the opposition Social Democrats says the present conditions in custody are unacceptable.
People who are in custody should not have their freedoms restricted more than is absolutely necessary.
The Czech Prison Service says it is doing what it can in difficult circumstances and maintains that it is simply abiding by the law. Robert Kacher is a spokesman for the Czech Prison Service.
There can be no question that we fully adhere to all rights and norms stipulated by the law. This includes internationally binding norms regarding prisoners' rights.
However, there is no denying that due to a lack of finances, living conditions in Czech prisons have steadily deteriorated, and the situation is now close to critical. According to official sources, the capacity of Czech prisons is now exceeded by over 30%. While the number of convicts has been rising, the number of guards has decreased as a result of cuts in financing. Last year, prisoners rebelled over what they called insufferable living conditions, citing poor hygiene, foul food, overcrowded cells, inadequate medical care, and restricted free time activities. In an effort to save on electricity, many jailhouses have banned electric kettles, which prisoners were allowed to use in their cells to make hot tea, and imposed other cost-cutting restrictions. The Czech Helsinki Committee has been inundated with complaints from prisoners and has repeatedly criticized the prison service for failing to address the problem. One former prisoner even took the matter to court, demanding £500,000 from the state for the inhumane living conditions in which he was forced to serve his sentence. An attempt to alleviate the problem by passing a law which would enable judges to impose alternative punishments failed to produce results after the Justice Ministry delayed a tender for electronic bracelets that would have reinforced a curfew order. Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil has repeatedly requested extra funding, saying that finances are at the core of the problem. He explains that whatever money is available is being used for security and basic operations, leaving very little for investment into better living conditions. Last week, though, brought some hope of improvement. The minister warned the cabinet that the prison system was on the verge of collapse, and ministers earmarked another 700 million crowns for the country's 36 jailhouses. The money is to be used both to improve living conditions for prisoners and work conditions for prison administration. The problem is that only 150 million of that will come from state coffers. Mr. Pospíšil has been advised to find the rest within his own portfolio budget. The minister says that some changes for the better will be forthcoming, but he refuses to link them to the highly publicized case of MP David Rath.
We had been planning a certain number of improvements before the Rath case emerged. I do not want the public to get the impression that we are changing the rules because of one jailed politician.
The changes are likely to improve not just the conditions in jailhouses, but also slightly liberate the rules which govern the prisoners' daily routine. With tension rising on both sides of the bars, any change for the better comes at the 11th hour. At present, there are over 23,000 prisoners doing time in the country's 36 jailhouses. Over 5,000 convicts are wanted by the police for avoiding their jail sentences, and the prison service says that if they too were to turn up at the country's prison gates, it would be almost impossible to cope.
Daniela Lazarová with that edition of Panorama. It's time now to brush up on our Czech. Of course, another ABC of Czech coming your way with Pavla Horáková.
Hello and welcome to the ABC of Czech, where this season we look at Czech vocabulary related to food and drink. Today I'm here with
Zuzana Durčáková.
In the past two episodes, we talked about beer in the Czech language, and today we'll concentrate on the other most popular alcoholic beverage, wine.
Vino.
Grapevine has been grown in the Czech lands since the time of Emperor Charles IV, who in the mid-14th century encouraged farmers to plant vines.
Vina réva.
On the sunny slopes around Prague and elsewhere in the country in exchange for tax relief. Some of the vineyards,
vinice,
originally founded by Charles IV, are still yielding crops to this day. Wine is grown also around the town of Mělník, north of Prague, but the traditional wine-growing region,
Vinařská oblast,
is South Moravia. If you ever visit the region, you cannot miss the opportunity to visit a
vinný sklípek
or a wine cellar. There are dozens of them outside every wine-growing village, and their proud owners will make you try all their wines, while a typical Moravian band will play folk songs about their beloved
vínečko
or little wine. It can be white,
bílé,
or red,
červené,
or rosé, which is called the same in Czech. Wine can be sparkling,
šumivé,
also called
sekt,
or in popular speech,
bubliny,
bubbles. The word for champagne,
champagne,
should be applied only to sparkling wine produced in the French district of Champagne. Wine spritzer,
vinný střik,
that is wine mixed with soda water, is very popular, especially in the summer. Very popular are also half-fermented young wines called
burčák,
which are drunk at the beginning of autumn at grape harvest festivities. The drink is sweet and fizzy and tastes deceptively innocuous. And since I'm no wine connoisseur, I'll stop right here before I make some kind of blunder. Till next time, thanks for listening and
na zdraví.
Cheers.
Pavla Horáková with the ABC of Czech, just one of our many long-running language series here at Radio Prague. Now in reruns, of course, but still very useful. They are among the most popular series that Radio Prague has ever produced. And if you're practicing your Czech and want to hear some of those expressions again, do visit our website, radio.cz, where you can look up the ABC of Czech or some of our other series as well. I'm afraid, though, that we are out of time for this day. I'm Jan Wellinger for all of us here at Radio Prague. Thanks so much for joining us, and take care.